CNN is on the story here at the George Washington University. This week, the government released new images showing a quick glimpse of the jetliner slamming into the Pentagon on September 11, 2001. One goal of getting the tape out to put to rest the conspiracy theories that claimed it never happened. On 9/11, Jamie McIntyre was at the Pentagon. Take a look at Jamie's notebook.
There are still people who don't believe a plane really hit the Pentagon on September 11th. I was there. I saw the wreckage. I photographed it with my digital camera. One of the pictures I took shows a yellow fire hose stretched across the heliport, surrounded by thousands of shards of metal from the plane. Another shows glass that appears to be from the cockpit, and another is a part of the fuselage with the colors of American Airlines. In fact, I got arrested that day by an overzealous Pentagon police officer for taking this particular picture of the Pentagon on fire. He confiscated my camera, but I got it back a few days later. All of the images were intact.
The only pieces left that you can see are small enough.
I was surprised to find that my own words are part of the conspiracy presentations. You can see on the internet clips of me saying on September 11th, from my own close-up inspection, there's no evidence that a plane crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. But I was answering a question, and the point I was making was about an eyewitness who thought a plane crashed near the Pentagon. I was saying, no, not near the Pentagon. The only plane that crashed was at the Pentagon.
You know, it might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. The only site is the actual site of the building that's crashed in, and as I said, the only pieces left that you can see are small enough that you could pick up in your hand. There are no large tail sections, wing sections, a fuselage, nothing like that anywhere around, which would indicate that the entire plane crashed into the side of the Pentagon.
Yeah, this is round two, and we're going to go back to Jeff's experience with the 9/11 Truth Group. And not just to hammer on them in particular, but I just personally, I think, you know, groups don't get anything done anymore, or if they ever did. But what really disturbed me was the fact that, and this goes across to both the major Patriot networks, and that is, I cannot for the life of me understand how people can diss Craig Ranke from CIT, who has done the best work of any researchers in any of the three venues. No doubt about it. The guy just did a good work, and he actually got dirty and walked the streets and risked whatever and came up with great stuff. And this guy can't get heard on the networks. And now, what is he getting? The shiv also from certain factions or a faction in the D.C. Truthers group?
Well, we had hosted an event that they put on in June, July 2009, and it was of their latest information where they had boiled down, I think, most of their documentaries into a one-hour short, which is pretty short compared to about the 12, 14 hours of documentary footage that they actually have between all the films that they've done for all the research. And it was sponsored by the DC Group and the Rock Creek Free Press. We were all behind that, and that was the one thing that I was railing on the group about a while back in my rants, was that, you know, we keep focusing on this whole Church of the Controlled Demolition thing in New York, but we're the DC Group, so why is there these two guys from LA flying out repeatedly, staying at my house, doing all this research, the boots on the ground to investigate right. something in our backyard? I said, that's kind of odd, don't you think? So some people started looking into that. There was, what was it? Matt, who pretty much chairs the group and runs the paper, he has been looking at that whole side of it, and for the most part, is in agreement with CIT because it just seems to be the most plausible explanation at this point. And I don't know how you could look at all the information presented and not see theirs as being the one that has the light shining on it, the one that makes the most sense. And they had, when, what was it, this past fall, Jesse Ventura show came out here to do their show ender, season finale, the program they did on the Pentagon. And they had interviewed Matt and drove him around the Pentagon on the outside. And they interviewed me on the street for about 40 minutes outside of one of our D.C. meetings, because I got a call from the show saying that they heard that I was somebody that they should talk to regarding the Pentagon when it concerned that. But it didn't make the it fell on the cutting room floor, I guess. I didn't make that episode, which is fine. I still told them, I said, well, you guys definitely need to talk to them because this is where all that information focuses on. And they actually went back and talked to Craig, but he said that he was being hammered on by one of the guys from the show, that it was very confrontational, and this guy just did not like him for whatever reason. That didn't make it into the show, but somebody else that Craig was working on was able to get the whole flyover idea, that part of the research, into the show, on top of all the other ideas and research angles that were being put out as far as the Pentagon is concerned. But these guys, you know, Craig and Aldo, and specifically Craig coming out so many times, and I told this to the group, I said, they're doing more than what we're doing here. We're local. All you have to do, some of the people live right up the street from the Pentagon. It would have been pretty easy for somebody to actually get out there and do some of the stuff that they're doing. But no, these guys have to come all the way out from California, do all the research, find the people they need to talk to, go knock on doors, and they put together some damn compelling information. And they've broken apart the government's official theory of the attack trajectory of what happened at the Pentagon. It just does not fly when you've got 13, 14 witnesses that saw a flight path that was completely different than what the government proposed, just by taking the north side trajectory as opposed to the south side. The angle is wrong, so there's no way that an aircraft, if it had crashed there, it could have taken that same path through the Pentagon to the C-ring punch-out. It would have had to have gone the completely opposite direction, forming more of an X. And what people don't realize that have not been here to D.C. or haven't looked at the photos or understand the Pentagon is that Reagan International Airport is right on the other side. The flight path takes if you're flying into Reagan to come into D.C., which officially is in Virginia, you're flying right up the Pentagon anyway. All the air traffic comes flying over the Pentagon. It skirts all the little skyscrapers in Crystal or Roslyn, which is in part of Arlington on the other side of the Pentagon as the approach comes in, that every couple minutes there's something, an airliner flying over the Pentagon on that approach. So it would be so easy for something like that to take place, for just a flyover, which you get to the other side of the Pentagon, and then all of a sudden you're over the international airport, and then you just keep going. They're in the middle of the melee of nobody knowing what's going on with everything in the air. And people forget, too, that right on the other side of the river is an Air Force base. So there's just tons of air traffic in that area. It just doesn't make sense why. Well, for one, there's just no crash site regarding the Pentagon. There's just nothing there. I worked on a lot of crash sites, covering up a lot of crap for the Air Force when I worked in intelligence back in the day. But I don't know how anybody could look at the initial photos and claim that there was some sort of crash there. It just doesn't make sense when you have the SecDef and you have Rumsfeld and a bunch of the other criminals involved in this 9/11 show, that it is a two-hour movie of the week where they need to traumatize everybody to get them behind this new agenda for the police state. If you're right on the other side of the Pentagon, you would not want to take a chance on crashing anything into this building and that something going wrong and then it crashing in some other part to where you're in there. You're watching this thing come in on the internal radar, the screens, the video, whatever it is. It just doesn't make sense. And these guys did all the research, boots on the ground. They did some phenomenal work. And there are a couple people in the group that just, over the past couple couple weeks have gone apoplectic defending the other side. And this one person in particular, quite a bit older, close to retirement, she just out of the woodwork, it seems, is, even though she claims, she's like, I don't think anything crashed at the Pentagon, she is pushing all of the known 9/11 perpetrators, the trolls, the internet trolls, the Fed paychecks that we've been dealing with in these online forums for since 2006 at least, pushing their side of the story. And I keep hearing, it's like, well, that person, here's their information, they have a nice site. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Over these people who've done the boots-on-the-ground research, you're telling me that you're believing this other person based off the fact that they have a nice site, that there are some pretty colors put together. It's just absurd. And this person, she recently, and that's the other thing, I'm surprised how many people in the group don't have their shit together when it comes to the 9/11 research. Certain things that I bring up, that a couple of my other friends bring up, in this current discussion, just some basic facts about 9/11 research that these people have no clue about. And I said, where have you people been? What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
How do you not know about these certain, these are the basics. This is how you start out on all of this stuff, but they just don't get it. This one friend in particular, she, who's seems to be attacking CIT for some reason over the past couple weeks, and it just doesn't make any sense. She's a technical writer. She took a job with Amdocs about 6 months ago, 8 months ago. She told me in the kitchen as we're getting ready to put the paper stuff together that she finally landed a job after being laid off this other one. I said, I mean, you got to be kidding me. You're going to be working for Amdocs? She's like, yeah, why is that a problem? And I just, like, started cracking up in the kitchen. I'm like, you're kidding. How do you not know who Amdocs is? How do you not know who Converse Infosys is? You know, all these perpetrators that were involved from the get-go. You're going to be going to work for them, and you don't know. You're a 9/11 researcher. You've been in this group since the very beginning, its founding, but you just don't know some of the basic information. I told her, said, fine, you know, just... while you're there, see if you can dig up some information since you'll be on the inside.
Yeah, right.
See what it is that they're actually, I mean, who knows?
But are you saying that at one time she was like on board with everything and all of a sudden she gets this job and now she flipped?
She's been flighty the entire time. She has moments of clarity. She comes from the anti-war side and she has never really made any sense. I mean, she's a sweet person. But I swear to God, she doesn't know what the fuck she is talking about when it comes to 9/11 research.
Judy in disguise.
Yeah, I just think she is just severely affected. And I mean, yeah, she went through she came close to death at some point through a bout with cancer. And I think that whatever therapy she went through definitely altered something. But she just does not get it. Regarding this stuff, and I find it strange that she doesn't understand most of it, gets a job with Amdocs, all of a sudden for a 6 month gig, comes back, and right in the middle, you know, of all of this other stuff, this Cass Sunstein crap that's going on,
right.
She is all of a sudden pushing
the plane.
The known trolls that we've been dealing with for so many years, these people who have been attacking us online in these different forums, the people who have been banning us from these prolific 9/11 truth sites, and all the people that I've been dealing with, these friends of mine that I know face-to-face and the other people that I just know by talking to on phone or online, the people who have been banned from these sites have only been banned because they've had questions regarding the Pentagon, specifically the CIT research. Anytime they start to interject that into the whole left-right paradigm of the plane, no plane, whether it's a plane crash there, it's like, no, a plane didn't crash there, it was a missile, or it was the Skyhawk, or the whatever. It's you talk about, well, it seems to have been the most likely theory that there was a flyover. Why would you slam something like that at that rate of speed into where you're actually sitting and watching the stuff as it happened. So I just find it strange. She went to work for them. She comes back, and all of a sudden she's just attacking the only people that have actually gone out and rung these doorbells, as opposed to the other people that she keeps citing that we know are feds that, well, we don't know for sure, but, man, they do quack like a duck for these group of people that are supposed 9/11 truthers. They sure do puppet the official conspiracy theory, as well as deemed to be the 9/11 truth internet police to make sure that you only talk about approved subjects. So,
but Jeff, I got to ask you though.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, Craig does excellent work, and he can't get a breath on any of the stations. That tells me something, and what it tells me is it's frightening to think about what that really means, especially with Genesis and you know, RBN and all that crap, that this guy never has seen the light of day, and he's getting this down there. But that aside, here's the other thing I cannot understand. How in the world can any American who's supposed to be intelligent or at least educated to some degree not get it through their heads that you can't have a plane crash anywhere and not leave a whole big fucking mess?
Yeah.
I mean, my God, but you know what? My best friend, who's a pilot for Continental, bought the fact that that plane went into that garage-size square on the first floor with six-ton engines down the wing, and it all folded up like a Swiss Army knife and just disappeared.
Uh-huh.
And here's the other thing. It bangs through one ring, the E ring. It bangs through the D ring, bangs through the C ring, but doesn't leave any of itself anywhere.
Right.
How the hell do you break through a third ring and not have any mass left to show how it broke through the third ring? What the hell is going on?
That's the point of physics. That's when the fuel overtakes the aluminum and it just evaporates into a gaseous form.
Oh, okay. And then just kicked a freaking cow kicking hole through this third ring, right? Symmetrical, like it might have been a shaped charge. Oh no.
Yeah.
And then in Shanksville, this plane dropped from less than 1,000 feet, by everyone's estimation who saw it. And this thing went down the magic rabbit hole, and it folded up too? And Americans are believing that shit?
Yeah.
God almighty. I mean, take a look on, you know, I said this time and again, and I'm sure you have too. Take a look at any airline catastrophe crash site, and there's a few of them. Take a look at any of them. Planes and bodies, I'm sorry, don't disappear. They get dismembered and cut up really badly, but they don't disappear. And
right.
How in the world can Americans believe that the only time in aviation history that planes and body parts all atomized was in Shanksville and at the Pentagon?
Well, it's exchanged and changed that day only. I mean, it's planes disappearing into these magic holes, leaving these weird Wile E. Coyote, Bugs Bunny cartoon cutouts of how they went into certain into the ground and the buildings, whatever else. Same thing with buildings. First time in history that jet grade kerosene has melted steel structures to bring them down to the ground and turn them into powder. But just on that day only, you know, physics all of a sudden
was suspended.
Back into play the next day
as
the sun rose back up. You're like, okay, that was just an anomaly.
Well, I mean, I've seen arguments, and I've decided I just don't want. I'm not going to answer them anymore because, you know, and this is another thing that Victor Thorne told me from Wing TV. He's like, you won't believe that one of these people who's like in the 9/11 Truth movement, and he goes, you know, and I won't tell you his name. So I'm like, okay, that's close to home, or whatever that is. He says, yeah, he believes the government story. So if you believe the government story, of course you get the high ground because there's all the stats and everything, but they're all lies. They're all freaking lies. And so how do you argue that? You can't. But the thing I can never understand is just tell me how you can atomize planes and body parts, please, just here in the United States, just on that one particular day. Tell me how you did that. And so every time a plane drops from 35,000 feet, which is a lot further than what Flight 93 was supposed to drop from, well, it was going 500 miles an hour. Who gives a crap? I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
They don't disappear, man. Ah, you know what they say?
I've still got people that try to show me. It's like, well, look at this footage of this F-4 Phantom being slammed.
Like the concrete block?
Yeah, the reinforced concrete. And I'm like,
yes.
I said, well, yeah, that was specifically made for this test, it was for nuclear blast. That's what the thing's doing. And I said, everything just disintegrated. That's a little bit different than what we're talking about.
Yeah, how many bodies were aboard that jet fighter?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where's the big honking engines that went through?
Right, right.
And actually, that thing popped through the other side, but they cut the video off.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you look at that, it comes through the other side.
Right.
But end of video. That's it. Sorry. Okay. Nothing to see here, folks, but...
Yeah, I mean, I can sit there all day and just show people, okay, crash site, crash site, crash site, crash site. But, you know, I have not come across a crash site where I've been able to show anybody where there was nothing there. Except for, you know, the Pentagon or Shanksville.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only time I can introduce photographs of something like that where they go, well, yeah, it just did this weird thing that day. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, and last year, you know, I did that thing with Herb. When I played, and he hadn't heard that before, McIntyre's original reportage from the Pentagon on that day, and then his damage control piece about that. He lied.
Oh, yeah, where he was talking over the audio thing. Well, and I clearly said, it's like, well, no, you didn't clearly say it. It's like, I know what you really said, you're talking over it right now, so, you know, thanks for obfuscating the whole thing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Thorne interviewed him a couple of months ago. And he's no longer with CNN, so you see, it pays the life of those bastards.
Well, yeah, lately I've seen him, because I watched Russia Today and Al Jazeera and a couple of the others. He, all of a sudden, he's been popping up over the past month. They've been pulling him in to discuss certain things on Russia Today and some of these other programs, so he's obviously floating around D.C. doing some of these junkets.
Well, he's an adjunct instructor somewhere in some college there, too. But what happened was...
probably teaching physics.
Yeah, that's a good one. If I had a rim shot here, I would have done it. But Thorne pushed him, not nastily, but he pushed him with stuff and McIntyre kept answering. And then Victor goes, well, what about this and what about this? And it got to the point, McIntyre never got stern with him, didn't flip out on him, but just like would say, like, well, if that was the case, okay, so that's a new attempt. I like that one. Well, if that was the case, it would be plausible. So, I mean, come on. He knows. He wants to go back into business. He can't go ahead and turn on what he already did. So,
well, the one thing that I see right now, and because we're at the decade mark, we're at the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
We've got that jackass Cass Sunstein, who came out with his paper, his co-written paper in 2008 about cognitive infiltration, attacking groups, bring up these conspiracy theories that don't bode well with how the government likes to operate, and specifically targeting 9/11 truth groups. He gets pulled into Obama's administration in 2009. That was the Dominion beer talking right there.
I didn't want to say that.
Yes, but you know, and I keep thinking back to that damned email that I got from that headhunter. That the FBI was outsourcing this stuff too, saying, just a couple months before his paper came to prominence in 2009, that, you know, the FBI was looking for a new person to fill a human position in D.C. Because there were some things going on and they needed somebody on the ground to. And it's like, well, I know what human is because I had several friends in intelligence that was their job, doing that for NSA, and I know what they were doing overseas, or at least behind the Iron Curtain in those positions. I'm like, well, if a position came open in D.C. and it's human with FBI, all I can think of is group infiltration. But I can speculate all day long. But then his piece comes out and started pushing out these stories about Cass Sunstein. With what's going on right now, with how they're trying to divide the movement, and it started with our Creek article in November of last year about Blogger being infiltrated by federal trolls, and
be specific. I understand what you're talking about. What site in particular? Are you talking about
9/11? Blogger.com. It is the It has been the preeminent, the mainstay, the godfather site when it comes to 9/11 truth for people to go to discuss information. And in 2007, there was a major hiccup. to where the site almost completely went away, and they were talking about how it almost went away. They, you know, the amount of traffic they were getting was just incredible when you look at the site meter. But they said it might go away, but somewhere, somehow, somebody came in with some money, bought the site. It kind of went down for about 2 weeks, came back up through the Phoenix ashes, and all of a sudden, all the comments were not open anymore. They were going to be moderated. There was a voting system for what you're going to talk about. There were certain rules and parameters on how you had to talk to people and what you could talk about. And from that point on, a lot of people backed off from it, and then the traffic just kind of slowed down to a crawl. But they built up enough street cred. They might have been a real site to begin with, but they were obviously taken over by a George Soros type, somebody with some money, somebody tied in with the 9/11 criminal syndicate, just to start changing the direction of the research and the information that was coming out. And that's when the same people involved on this site, you just had a couple people from the very beginning who have always been on there that now became moderators. The first handful, the first 10 people that got into the site started managing it and started moderating all the comments, saying, you're in timeout. You got to go to a corner now because you said something that we don't approve of, a certain line of 9/11 research that is verboten. And then that's when people just started getting banned. And that was when they started attacking CIT specifically. Was 2007 after this point. I can't remember when I got banned from the site, but several friends of mine, as they were in this line of research discussing CIT's, you know, third-party system theory information into this two-party politic 9/11 situation, they would wind up either getting banned a couple points. These people had, it's like, oh yeah, well your name is this, and they'd give out my friend's real name and their current or close to current living address. That would be some sort of weird attack to get them to shut down their current thread in supporting CIT. So people all across the board were getting banned and being attacked for discussing anything. Anything related about this regarding the Pentagon, this other theory. And it seems to be that you could talk all day long about anything, especially about the New York and what went on there. And you could go all across the board. But concerning the Pentagon, there was a certain line of thinking, and it was specific to CIT, that you mentioned them or something. It was, if you were talking, it could be a friend of a friend of a friend, you know, that Kevin Bacon game relating to CIT, and they would bring it up somehow and get you banned. God. So there is something, the Pentagon is the key, the World Trade Center, I mean, it's pretty cut and dried. People can see that for what it is, that they're not afraid for anything to come out concerning the Trade Center, because somehow they're going to be able to explain it away, but they're not going to be able to do it with the Pentagon, because it is a completely controlled site, and that would have had to have been them attacking themselves. So, well, these guys, now go ahead, because I can just ramble.
No, it's just that, you know, let me say it. I mean, when I started realizing what was going on through you sending me emails about the brouhaha, whatever, about the Ranky, I'm like, man, here's another place. I mean, I knew he's like a non persona at the Patriot Networks, and then now all of a sudden he gets this there, and I'm like, what that tells me is, if you're that together and you have it down, no one's going to give you any time. And if that's the case, right, what does that say about supposedly the good guys on this side of the street? To include Jones and the rest of those assholes.
Got the New World Order on the run.
Oh, God. Almighty. So, you know, Yeah, why does he get to go to The View? I mean, even it's ridiculous. Look, you know, here's another thing about changing websites and things all of a sudden springing up. Yeah, okay, it was all through donations and buying your videos. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, for somebody who says that we're at the end, it's the end times, and it's genocide, and they're out to get us, and they're trying to kill off everybody. I mean, he started 4 new companies, and he bought a really nice big-ass house, and he's putting his kids through some really nice schools, so it doesn't sound like somebody who is really buying into his own of the end times.
And if you don't mind, in the time we got left, you tell me if you got some parting shots with regard to all this, that's okay. But I do want to ask you about some other things, and appearances and such. I'll leave it at that for now. Do you want to gravitate away from the whole DC thing and Craig Ranke, who does great stuff, by the way? What do you want to do?
We can keep going with that, or you can go off into some other topic tangent. It does not matter to me.
Tangent, he says. Oh, no, it's okay. I think we've stated it enough. The fact that Craig can't get a cup of coffee, it's just not. It only makes sense if the whole freaking thing is crooked, and the more correct you are, and the more accurate and fastidious you've been, meticulous about what you've done, means that you don't even get a blink on the supposed sunny side of the street. That is crazy, and that tells me a lot about Jones and Statmiller and all the other bullshit Patriot stations. And also, I'm sorry, but with your group and the DC group who can't seem to get a lunch order straight. I mean, let me ask you one thing. This is the party question, so you can cut this part of the audio off before I go off to other things. And that is, like, how long are you guys going to go? I mean, when does anything happen? When do you make a difference? And I have to say, it's going to get real melancholy, nostalgic, maudlin, and patriotic, oh God, and nationalistic come, you know, in another couple of months. Now, if anybody comes out and says anything different, you kidding me? You're going to get, like, all kinds of hell brought down on your head. Nobody better be popping off come the 10th anniversary because it is not going to be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think?
That was something that was brought up a couple months back. It's like, should we maybe disband it and just keep going with the paper? And a couple people freaked out. It's like, no, how could you think about disbanding the group?
Where would I have to go every night?
Yeah, it's like, right. Yes. It's where are we going to go for this monthly, this weekly reservation at the Indian restaurant? But the idea was like, what are we actually doing? I'm spending most of my time with the Greek, and a couple of the other people are. Like, some people really need to hold on to the idea of being a prominent research group and going that direction, but my point being, what research? I don't see many people talking about it in the listserv. That's why I put in all this other information from my site. I'm like, here's some other things that are going on. But if you guys aren't going to really sit down and discuss these new things that are sort of popping up and thinking outside the current paradigm, we're not going to gravitate anywhere. We're not going to grow intellectually, at least trying to figure out what's going on, because you bring up a fringe topic and then you get pounced on. And, I'm just tired of that kind of thing. That's just why I do my own thing and talk to my other friends on the phone and through email and pushing other stuff around. It's those kind of people that are getting things done. It's the group mentality to where it just stagnates and you have to go through consensus. I think that was the mindset from the beginning when the perps who created 9/11 created the 9/11 truth movement. Heresy. I dare say it, but you don't infiltrate a group from the bottom and try to climb up the ranks. You'll do that with a couple people to see some certain things that are going on. But you create it from the top down so that you manage the entire thing. Yeah, you got some people on the very bottom floor who think that they're actual, like if it's a terrorist group, like with Al-Qaeda, they actually think that they're Al-Qaeda, ground troops doing something, but they don't realize that they're working for the CIA or Mossad or French intelligence and this other crap. It just doesn't make sense to try to start at the bottom and climb your way up the corporate ladder of terrorism. You just create the group from the beginning and then manage it the way that you need to implement world policy for whatever it is that's going on out of whatever current administration or whatever banker is controlling who.
No, you know, what I'm thinking about is like with the joke being on the American people, that in a more denigrating or de-evolving situation as far as who they put in the presidency to see what Americans will take. I mean, it was bad enough with George Bush. Obama, I mean, it's like horrible. And I'm like, oh, my God, are they going to go to Sarah Palin? I think they are. And I'm like, they're just sitting there in D.C. laughing their asses off going, throw this one out. Don't take it.
Uh-huh.
No, I had a laugh because when we had our break, Obama was addressing the NFL problem. It's like, why do you... No, and it's not his fault. I mean, you know, you know how I feel. He's got a hand up the back. He's a hand puppet, just like Bush was in arrest. It's like, well, who the hell cares what you think? Secondly, it's none of your goddamn business. You know, and even when the Congress is like worried about steroids with like Roger Clemens, what do you care? God almighty. I mean, they can't get a lunch order right. And they're going to like grill. What does it mean to you, you idiots? And now they got Mickey Rooney up there about elder abuse. What the hell's that about? Oh, God. If it isn't necessary and it doesn't mean shit to most people, we have it up on the Hill. Oh, God. So anyway, yeah, I think what's going to happen is in this de-evolving, like, evolution chain, the next president they're going to give us is like Sarah Palin. And, I mean, that'll be the all-time all-timer.
Well, I think at that point they'll take it further and they'll just bring somebody out of the Fox Blonde Parade and take it that much further because she's just said too many stupid things recently.
Jeez. I mean, Bush was bad, but, I mean, Sarah makes him look like a genius.
But she's nice to look at.
What are we going to have? Michelle Bachmann come out of, like, nowhere to be a presidential candidate? Can we get any more Desperate Housewives of D.C.? What is it with the babes? Like, all of a sudden now, like, they're fit for... Okay, I get it. All right, I'm in trouble. That's all right. Uh-huh. Okay, talking about things... What? You wanted to say something, Jeffrey?
No, I'm just thinking of the current babe parade that they put on the teleprompter monkeys to push out the propaganda. And I think it's gotten to that point to where they're going to need... I mean, Bush was so bad, but he was bad. He was up front to take the flak while Cheney and the rest of them could do everything in the background. People said, oh, his administration was so bad, they screwed everything up. I'm like, no, they did everything right.
Right.
They got everything that they ever wanted, and then they passed the ball on to, it was a good cop, bad cop, where Bush was the bad cop. Now they had to bring in Obama, because he's such a great teleprompter speaker, he could talk to the people and people go, oh, wow, he's intelligent because he can speak and he just doesn't sound like an idiot. Well, you know, he just took everything that Bush and them had laid down in their administration and ran with it and put it on steroids. And so now people realize, well, shit, you know, what is he actually doing? And they're going to have to pass it off to somebody else who's maybe not speak too well, but definitely very easy on the eyes.
Oh, no. Well, you know, it would fit the, like I said, the progression, regression, whatever. Have a black male, then you go to white woman, because the black guy's always on top. Oh, sorry. But anyway. Oh, was that racist? I hope so. All right. Now, moving on. I have to laugh, too, by the way, with the United States making all kinds of remarks and finger-wagging at Mubarak. What I had a laugh about was that you have to lift that state of emergency that you've had for 30 years. Does anybody realize we've been under Emergency War Powers Act for 78 years? Does anybody really care?
Yeah. We haven't rescinded the continuity of government implementation since Kennedy. That's another thing I have to send you some information on. It's just the spot back here behind the house is a continuity of government site. It's the highest point in D.C., but ties into that whole thing. It's still an active site, and the FAA controls it, supposedly.
It must be a landfill. You remember Mount Trashmore? Is that still going? I'm serious. Do you know there's a Mount Trashmore in Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was the best. That was back in the 70s. God knows now it's probably the Matterhorn, but, you know. I thought that was the best. All right. I broke off your thought, which probably wasn't worth... No, go ahead.
We were going past the teleprompter monkeys at this point, so...
Yeah, so anyway, we have the United States yakking at Mubarak, the state of emergency, when we've been actually over twice as long as he's had that going. Mm-hmm. What else do we have? What I was laughing at. Two things. One, if Americans ever went out into the streets like they did in Egypt, let's just say, because we really saw that very closely, we would get our heads split open. I mean, in a nanosecond. I mean, it's like, okay, if we did that here, what would happen? Are we forgetting that? Every time somebody shows up at a G20 or something like that, they get like, what, 5 minutes into the protest and they get their heads broken.
Yeah. People keep forgetting, like, oh, no, the government wouldn't do that to us. I'm like, hello, what the fuck do you think Kent State was?
That was the end.
Look at the civil rights movement and what went on. The amount of head cracking, the dogs being put on the people, the fire hoses. They weren't using rubber bullets back then.
Oh, no.
They were using shotguns.
I had a friend that went out to see his brother off to college. He was the younger of the two sons. And he went out to Ohio. This was the summer of, or it was August, I guess, of 68. And so they get into the motel. So the kid goes over and flips on the TV and sees all this, like, you know, helmeted cops, like, breaking people's heads. He goes, man, this must be like Czechoslovakia or something like that. And it was Chicago. It was a Democratic National Convention. But don't let that worry you. Oh, God. But I have to laugh, you know. And here's the last thing about this whole thing. And that is, these guys, first of all, I don't believe for once that this is an organic revolt that's sweeping through Saharan Africa into the Middle East with everybody yearning to be free. But like 2 or 3 days into like the larger congregation that was amassed in the square in Cairo, NBC came out and they had the logo with the fist, you know, a little schematic fist reminiscent of the SDS days. Rage and revolution. And I'm like, when did this get pronounced like a revolution? I mean, these guys have been hanging around for like 48 hours. What's, you know, what is this? And, of course, that stamp is still with them. And I have to laugh because, you know, it's the old wag the dog situation, man.
Mm-hmm. There's obviously regime change going on in that part of Northern Africa and the Middle East. I find it funny how, you know, Hillary gets up there and she just espouses for the State Department. How it's a good thing and that he needs to step down. But you look at what's going on in Wisconsin, some people, they're just trying to keep their current status, pay status, not looking for anything extra, and they're being demonized as drug addicts and just the wrong kind of people. When you look at the mouthpieces and you've got both, they're talking out of both sides, even if you thought that the stuff over there was organic, you've got to call it into question at that point. It just doesn't make sense. They just seem to need to make clear the way for the dictators that they've had for so long that it's time for new CEOs, and they want to get rid of the out-and-out dictatorship and put in whatever, probably our form of democracy, which just works so fucking well. And we can see what kind of police state that we've been under for quite some time.
Well, these poor folks are on the honeymoon right now. And I understand it must have sucked. But I'll tell you, at this stage of what government is in the epoch that we're in, I'm sorry to say, but guess what? You know, the new boss is going to be as bad as the old boss. And I'm assuming that this is a necessary step in trying to instigate, I think, you know, a further war. if you put in all of a sudden, you know, it's the old story. The CIA never understands or never knew what was going to happen until after it happens. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. No.
Right.
These cats are going to turn out to be anti-American, anti-West, pro-Islamic radicals. And then all of a sudden, like, we had no idea. That, well, yes, you did. Come on,
right.
man. Come on, man.
They,
don't tell me this
need,
thing.
They need an enemy.
Yeah.
That seems to be what they're putting in place. You take out Mubarak, and then you've got the evil henchman for the CIA, Suleiman, who's been their CIA guy for quite some time over there, who just loves the rendition program and taking in torture. So he's demonized, so you have to get rid of him. And you have waiting in the wings somebody like Al Baradei.
Right.
And you find out, oh, he just sits on the board of directors of a Soros group that also has on the board of directors Zbigniew Brzezinski, the grand chessboard. And you're like, okay. So, you know, we're just shuffling around the globalist power players, the CFR. It's basically the CFR is just shuffling their people around at this point. And if the people don't really come to terms quickly and realize what's going on and just start hanging these people from their street posts, you know, it's just going to get worse.
Well, I mean, let me ask you your opinion. To me...
Oh, I have no opinions. What are you talking about?
How dare you have an opinion? But I just get the feeling that, you know, they're going to bring people in. Of course, they know the script, too. Let's face it. And they're going to turn out to be whipping up a certain kind of unity. I understand that. But that's going to get them sledgehammered. That's what I'm saying. That they've drawn this out, and the plan is to crush it. Because one of the things that the elites don't want, since they just are basically misanthropes to begin with, is a whole lot of, you know, radical Islamic-type people running around.
I'm still amazed that people don't. I guess the U.S. media has been puppeting, and even some of the European news, that the CIA never saw this coming.
They never see it coming.
Yeah. It's like, it's amazing how over the past several decades since 1947 that they've never seen anything coming, but damn, they're still trucking along.
Well, just remember the whole thing about 9/11. George Tenet went out, fell on his sword, they dismissed him, and, you know, he got taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Free, oh, never saw
him
coming.
He decides to quit a week before it happens.
We have to give him credit for something. Yeah, it's good to jump from the plane before it crashes.
Yeah.
No, but it's the same old story. Like, we never had an idea, and then all of a sudden, of course, on that day also, nobody had any idea this was going to happen, and they got all 19 perps, I'm referring to 9/11, within like a half an hour. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. They still can't figure out who bombed the Olympics in Georgia, so... Well, they blame that on Eric. Anyway.
Of course, they went after one guy for quite some damn time. talk about demonizing somebody. I mean, look at the shit behind Bruce Ivins. Yeah, luckily, he died just in time, so the FBI can go, oh, case closed, he was the guy. But pay no attention to the person working in the same lab with Ivins for these FBI or for the anthrax attacks,
right,
where the government finally has to admit, that was an inside job because the anthrax attacks came from Fort Detrick and they're military grade, and it was this guy. Well, the same guy that you had helping you with the investigation for about 8 years until his demise, you didn't let him know that he was under investigation. I went to the National Press Club, to the McClendon Group, to hear his lawyer speak couple weeks ago to a group that was invited to the email list, and I was just amazed. Well, at first I was amazed at how little of some of the extraneous information he did not understand about the case. He did not know about the scientist, the racist who was working in the group, who kept attacking one of the Egyptians, Egypt that worked in the lab. He was constantly making these racist camel jockey type slurs. I think he referred to him as a sand nigger a few times. Stuff like that in the office. This guy winds up being canned he was fired, but then he is seen on videotape accessing the lab with his ID, getting in there after he's lost his job, going in and doing some shit into the most heavily, supposedly, guarded bioweapons facility outside of Dugway Proving Ground, outside of Utah. But this guy, this lawyer, had no idea who this guy was. I'm like,
right.
What?
Right.
At that point in the conversation, I said, okay, so you were obviously put into place to manage Ivins and sort of be his attorney, and you probably knew that they were going to take him out, that he was going to be suicided. It was a little bit mind-bending to sit there and hear the stuff that was coming out of this guy's mouth, that he just said that, you know, well, because of confidentiality and certain agreements, and he quoted some court cases, said, yeah, even though after a person's dead, you know, I can't talk about certain things. But through most of the conversation, he said, well, I probably shouldn't be talking about this because of client attorney privilege, but and then he would just throw it out there. And I'm like, well, make up your mind.
Right.
It's obviously you're working for the other side. And you're just putting out some sort of disinformation, or you're just trying to cover some tracks. But that's the kind of crap that we're dealing with at this point. And I'm just surprised that several people around here that have been involved with for a few years just don't get that they don't understand the infiltration aspect and having some of these things managed. That there are these people that are out there, and that is their job, whether they're just getting a paycheck for it or they're being threatened. You just don't know, but it's a much larger picture.
Well, vote for Ron Paul because this will all go away. Don't worry about it. Jeez. All right, two things I want to ask you about real quick. I thought about you all too often. Let me explain that.
That's what gave me the gas pains the other night. Okay.
No, you know, and it's a sad situation. But, I again, because of where it took place, you've had now, what, two yachts that have been hijacked by Somalians,
mm-hmm.
or Somalis. And I'm thinking to myself, and I think back to when you told me about the job offerings now clearly offered for, I guess, what, military assistance.
For the SAIC position.
In the
Horn
of Africa.
Their facilities for deployment, you have to be ready at any time to be really deployable to Somalia.
Yeah, so... So, all right, now we know we have a presence there. Secondly, I don't understand why, two of these vessels... I know that they're really good seamen and all that stuff, but, I mean, I would not go near that thing. I mean, I wouldn't go north of Diego Garcia. Are you serious? And, of course, they go in there, and we have the situation. But I just wondered, it's like, well, where are we? You know, they make it sound like the Somali hijackers, and of course it's what, whenever they want to bring them out as bad guys again, you know, can't be confounded. And I just don't understand that, because now, especially with a presence in the Horn of Africa, I mean, come on. I mean, you got a bird in the sky, you can see what's going on. There's no reason why you should have an opinion on this, but realize
what
was... Go ahead.
Well, what bothers me about that whole thing is that they constantly call these guys pirates. They seem to be, you know, when they bring up these high-profile pieces about the yachts of, oh, the poor wealthy people that they attacked on these yachts, it's like, what the hell are these people doing off the coast of a known area that is, as the media has been puppeting this thing for a couple of years now,
yeah.
Pirates. You know, if somehow these guys in these little dinghies with AK-47s can get
a tanker or
a ship the size of Long Island to halt, you know, stop, or I'm going to shoot my pea shooter at you at your hulking vehicle. It just doesn't make sense. And these guys, they're not pirates. They're basically the Somali Coast Guard. They don't really have a government, but they're trying to protect their coastline from all of these European nations that have been coming over there because they have no government. And they're dumping all of their toxic waste off of their coast. So that's what these people are angry about. They're trying to protect what little bit sovereignty that they have, nature, all the crap that they're dumping off there, and at the same time probably trying to to get as much money as they can for some of these things because the system is working. But I see them as more Coast Guard, not pirates.
Okay, I thought they might have been in the Union.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what dues they pay. But, you know, isn't it funny, though, how it they pop up again? Like, they popped up, and then we had all these, you know, Rose Bowl stories about what took place and how they were thwarted by the captain from the Hampshire, and then they go away, and then they're back again. And it's like, come on, man. I mean, you can't tell me that that couldn't be quashed in a second. You got a bird in the sky, you got an aircraft carrier around, fine. That's it, bang. They're out, we'll go, bang, you're dead. We're back again.
Well, yeah, why is it that... these drones that Blackwater is flying for the CIA all over Pakistan, blowing up these wedding parties, you know, for somebody suspected of possible terrorist ties.
Right.
They target that individual and kill 70 people in an apartment block as they launch these missiles from the sky. These people don't even know that stuff's coming in. But for somehow they, for some reason, they just can't seem to do this with these dinghy boats. Along these areas where they have much freer rein, they could do something like that. You know, if that area is so bad, why does SAIC have deployable offices in that region for the Horn of Africa? And it just now, you know, when I first sent you that stuff a couple months ago when that came in,
right.
I was like, well, there's a lot of shit going on in Yemen, and now we can see with the rioting that's going across that portion of the Middle East and Africa, it might be the managing area, the project for the project managers that are seeding this and controlling some sort of regime change to redraw the map of that region for however it is that they're going to use it next.
Well, let me run this by you. Don't you find it interesting now, since there's all kinds of conjecture about the Suez Canal and the oil fields, that now we have a presence at the bottom of that. And I don't know. You know, it's just awful coincidental, you know, that we should be there. And as you well know, I mean, whatever we did in Yemen, who knows? Qatar loves us. Saudi Arabia somehow has avoided this whole Arab revolt thing, and that's kind of curious.
Well, they just started giving the kingdom there, when they saw this stuff erupting, they just started handing out money to the population. I saw that in the news, to where they were just, like, giving the people a lot of money, just handing it out, hand over fist, to keep people calm.
For how long? And it's a band.
Well, that's only going to last for so long, but they got to know that it's in the cards.
What, Saudi Arabia, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the Saudi Arabia, they come from a family out of Kuwait. That's where their lineage comes from. That's where they're based out of.
Well, yeah, that's interesting, too. I mean, Kuwait, there wasn't even a Kuwait until the Brits got down there, right?
Right. It was cleaved off from...
Iraq.
And it was Saddam that was tricked in by April Glaspie when he said, hey, these jackasses are slant drilling into my oil fields here, and, you know, I've been your proper puppet for quite some time, so I'm going to go attack because this is bullshit. And she said something along the lines, I mean, it's available.
It would have looked the other way.
Yeah, it's like we have no say in these Arab matters, basically. And I'd been telling people this for a couple of years because I knew about it, and they're like, oh, that sounds like bullshit, conspiracy theory stuff for me. Well, of course, then the CIA's Assange's guy, Mr. WikiLeaks, comes out recently with a document saying exactly that. And I'm like, oh, great, now I have that jackass backing me up through his WikiLeaks about stuff that I've known about that you could find online.
Let me ask you this. Sorry for you to mention it, but Assange to me is just another... He's not a good guy, and he's playing a good cop to somebody else's bad cop, but he's part of the problem, too, I think.
He's a limited hangout.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's basically everything... The people that blow up at me over that... You know, because we did the piece in the creek, and I did the graphic for that one, you know. is he a whistleblower, or is he an intelligence asset? Man, talk talk about people get bent out of shape. The researchers, the anti-war people, all the lefty side, they are so desperate for a fucking hero that he's like the perfect little contrivance. I mean, I think it is just so apparent who he is. But man, do they need somebody after Bush, and then Obama comes in, and then it's kind of obvious what Obama's doing. They're like, damn it, we were duped by him. Then Assange comes in. Next thing you know, they're like, oh, he's our savior. You're like, for what? Because he's airing a little bit of soap opera emails coming from these diplomatic cables. I said, this whole thing stinks. I mean, look at his family and what went on with these mind control operations out of Australia back in the day. But I had Bill Bloom stopped over here today, and I don't know if you know who he is, but the he puts out a piece called the Anti-Empire Report. But he wrote a book that when it came out, the dead Osama bin Laden praised it right at the selection time of 2004, I think, for Bush, and said, this is somebody you need to pay attention to. This is a good book, and you need to see. And it was maybe it was called Killing Hope, I think it was, but it was just talking about American empire building and the problems with the administration and all that kind of stuff. So his book spiked, and then it just dropped off the radar because Osama had endorsed it, the dead Osama. And he something popped on when he stopped in here to the house today. And he was asking me a question about something, some technology, internet question, computer stuff, the intertube of web nets. And he's just a funny character. He when something came on RT, because it was on TV at that point, about Assange, and he started, he's like, now if you're going to say anything about him, if you're going to start up with that Assange bullshit, it's like, I'm out of here. I'm just not going to put up with that. And I said, I didn't say a damn thing. The TV said something about him, and then you looked at me. So obviously you have a knee-jerk reaction to this, but he still thinks that Osama's alive. So,
well,
I guess he appreciated the book recommendation.
The only thing I'd like to see, and hang with me after I say goodbye to everybody, if you would, I would like to see Gaddafi driven out of Libya, and I would like him to come to L.A. and do host of a game show. Couldn't you see it? He'd work. It would work. He could be out there as long as Bob Barker.
He is so L.A. I mean, look at how he dresses in the glasses and everything.
He's so L.A. Yeah, what was it, Randy Newman? I love L.A. I mean, can't you see it, though? Honestly, he'd be in a Dodger game. He'd be in his element.
He is like some... He's like some deposed 80s music star.
Exactly.
And, you know, he's still living it out off the royalties.
And I can see him with, like, big Elton John glasses, you know. And of course, I'd have a Ukrainian nurse like her, too. Are you nuts? Of course. Jeez, if anything, he's not crazy. So, be that as it may, but I tell you, this whole thing is just bizarre. But Tom Brokaw, for whatever worth he is, actually, it was kind of funny this morning on the Today Show saying, well, they fed him a couple of lines, and they said, one of them was like, did you ever get the correct spelling of Gaddafi's name? And you know, Brokaw, it sounds like he's like half loaded all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Goes, well, I asked him once, and he said something like, you know, well, he went on for half an hour, and I still didn't understand a thing he said, so. I mean,
Brokaw's aunt was so much more clear headed. She used to come to my mom's hair shop, the beauty salon, and she used to do her hair there in that part of Mount Dora, Florida. But she made a lot more sense than he did.
Oh, who was the one who used to lampoon him all the time? Who did
the impression?
Yeah, who did Brokaw? I think on Saturday Night Live. Do you remember?
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Oh, and that was so good. Oh, it was so good.
I think it's what is his name? He normally plays this weird NBC doctor now on 30 Rock. I think he's the one who always did Brokaw.
Okay. I'll have to play the Jeopardy music because I can't figure it out. I never watched 30 Rock, but That was so good. I mean, actually, it was true. It's like, yeah, how did anybody who talks like that actually have what Brokaw had? So, at any rate. All right, listen, I think we just ruined or try to piss on everyone that does anything at all in these last 2 hours. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure this cleared up pretty much nothing, but was definitely a nice beer talk.
And if I can at all find any kind of like juvenile, sophomoric, rotten sound effects, you know that I'll inject them into this audio.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I bet. And I'm sure that once you, if you do get Craig back on to discuss any of the stuff that's going on, you know, his will be complete. Well, you know that because he's just by the book.
No, he is.
He doesn't speculate at all.
No,
and that's what I do on my end. And I had no problem. It's like I'll hold the camera while you're doing your thing because, yeah, I will speculate.
No, I mean.
He's done what nobody else has done in the 9/11 truth movement. Nobody.
The way that his work has been received tells me more than anything else that this whole patriot idiot stuff is nothing but just bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, and not to pontificate, but here's the point. And I'll make an example of this in which I'm involved later on. You're off the hook tonight. Don't worry about it. But... the thing is that people, the patriot idiots, thankfully, are a small group. And let's face it, they are. They're not going to rock anybody's world. They think they will, but they're not. But the thing is that they don't understand they're getting propagandized as bad as mainstream news. They don't understand they're getting just wazooed by all these supposed, like, people who love, you know, Dave and Joyce. Oh, God almighty, what a bunch of phony fuckers they are. Honest to God, do I know? Yes, I was there. And, you know, they don't get it. They're getting treated just the way the mainstream news treats most of Americans. That's all it is, just a difference in the amount of numbers and percentages. It's the same thing, folks. It just isn't ever going to change. So,
well, I mean, and you saw that with the emails I was sending you regarding the We Are Change faction on that side,
where you still have
the damn celebrity problem, and which ties into the patriot side of the movement, which ties into Jones. I bring up something that they were discussing. They separated, you know, the main New York group separated from Luke Radowski over some financial issues. And
well, at least Luke got through college.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay. They couldn't even, you know, just from that stuff. I'm just writing a story, pushing that out there about how they separated, and this is what it was over, and then I get attacked from a portion of that where they have to go the ad hominem route and start talking about who I'm supposedly dating and hope this person, you catch AIDS from this person or whatever, and I'm like, really, this is what it's evolved to? It's, you guys have a financial problem with somebody, you bring it up, you separate the groups, he keeps his own, you create your own, and now I'm the bad person for writing a story about it that a lot of people in the We Are Change movement were asking. But they said, we didn't want to air this out in public. I'm like, well, you don't create a new group separating from it and put out a mini press release saying that you're separating from them if you don't want people to ask questions. So, and of course, there are people in the DC group that are part of that that stare at me differently now, but it's not like they don't know that I run the site and write the stuff and push other people's content for this news aggregator. But you know, is it We Are Change or is it We Are Cover Up? You know, and so I guess I'm just going to have to finally publish their internal email saying that, yeah, he was right. This news article was completely right in what he said in reporting this information. But are we going to say publicly that, yes, he was right? Well, I've given them a couple months now, and so I guess I'm just going to have to publish the email just to sort of clear my name that way.
Well, it never ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I tell you what, we had that group, that wave that came through in back of Loose Change. I'm not saying it was associated with it. It just seemed to happen at the same time. And after that, I mean, when that happened, I had already left listening to any of those networks.
Mm-hmm.
But the We Are Change people turned out to be, I thought, basically, you know, Generation XYZ, you know, who had, like, young angst. And I mean, I understand it. Like I said, you know, we've all gone through it.
Yeah.
But that's where they've directed it, and they don't know what the hell they're doing. They just want to turn out, as we used to say at Cliffside Park. We don't win. We turn out. And they just want to turn tables over and just get, like, weird. And now you got that creep, what is it, Kokesh or whatever his name is, out from the West Coast, who's going to lead, like, you know, everybody into the promised land. And this is looking more and more like a Father Coughlin thing from, you know, World War II. I mean, it's bizarre. It's going to get more bizarre. But I've
well,
always...
Look at, speaking of bizarre, look at the... I don't want to get the... Was it Corey? I don't want to get the name wrong, but who
Buy
is it?
Buy My Heroin?
On?
Yeah.
What's that?
Buy My Heroin?
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't be
Beautiful.
More a high-profile target for all of the perps, but then you're going to supposedly try to sell heroin after producing one of the highest-rated, the most-viewed 9/11 films of all time on the Internet.
Yeah, you know, but the thing is, okay, great, you did this. Again, and I don't, I mean, that's an effort. Now, actually, with some of these 9/11 groups like your own, you know, putting out a documentary, that may not be a bad idea, except nobody will ever get it, you know, together, and everybody will be arguing, so that'll never happen.
Yep.
But they did it, but the point was, or after a while, do I have to see Loose Cage, you know, number 7? All right, okay, I get it. But too many people are making this a little bit of a cottage industry,
mm-hmm.
and they're making money off it. And to me, I don't think that's something you should do. I mean, to me, it's almost as sanctified as a, you know, proselytizing in a way. You aren't actually doing that. But, you know, so you take, that's what I'm saying. I look at this, you know, and I get these, I don't get emails. I get hit, like, you know, with blogs and all this crap. And they're like, well, you know, how dare he say that it's going nowhere? And I'm like, dude, all I'm asking you is show me the change. I've been in this thing for 10, 11 years. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to take this. Where is it? Where is it? I'm not making
fun.
Yeah,
this is turning into another JFK.
Yeah. Where is it? I mean, I know. I've opted out. I mean, I'll do this for a little bit longer, and that's it. But the point is, you're not getting anything done. There's no revolt. There's going to be no change. There'll be no good government. There'll be no constitution coming back. And it's like, that's the truth. Can't you deal with it? But they, you know, so that's all I'm saying. Show me some results. And I never see it. And everybody who criticizes me might go back and go, just show me something. Well, we don't even talk in the future tense, okay? Don't even talk with the we will or shall. Forget about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if this is a corporation, you're working for the man, it's like, okay, you say you can do all these different things, but what? Show me right here on this Excel sheet what you've done and where it's gotten us. And
thank you.
The progress. And yeah. You should be able to put it into a few bullet points at this point.
And the young ones don't understand that the older ones have been at this since the mid-90s, before I even got involved in this. And it's always been, oh, well, yeah, okay, fine. You know?
Yeah.
Bullshit. It ain't happening. Call it a day. That's the way it goes. If you want your 15 minutes of fame, you had it. If you're making money, that's enough. But go ahead, folks. Beat your head, crazy head against the sky. It ain't going to happen. And with that happy note, we have what we have to look for. Oh, spring and the holiday Ishtar. So that's good.
Great. Until next time, ciao.